Thank you for attending this seminar today. And my name is Keisuke Fuji from the University of Tokyo. And today, I want to talk about quantum supremacy of fault-tolerant quantum computation in a press-threshold region. So basically, here, I'm interested in the hardness of classical simulation of noisy quantum circuit. And specifically, I'm interested in the very, very noisy quantum circuit, which means the noise level is higher than the threshold value for standard fault-tolerant quantum computation. But still, we show that we can find some threshold below which we can find a quantum speedup in such a noisy quantum circuit. Right. So this is the outline of this talk. So I want to first explain motivation of studying noisy quantum circuits. And then I want to explain how to show hardness in noisy quantum circuits. And basically, we use a technique so-called post-selective computation. I will explain this idea. And as an example usage of post-selection technique, I will explain IQP, which is a kind of intermediate model quantum computation, consists of commuting circuits. And also, I will explain DQC1. And then, after that, I will show the main result, the special theorem for the quantum supremacy. And then, by using this result for the concrete models, like CD topological cluster computation, or 2D surface code, fault-tolerant computation with surface code, I will calculate concrete values of the threshold of noise length for quantum supremacy. And finally, I will summarize this talk. Okay, first, what is quantum supremacy? So quantum supremacy is first mentioned by John Plesico in the Solvay conference in 2011. And he asked that how can we best achieve quantum supremacy with a relatively small system that may be experimentally accessible with fairly soon. System like 100 qubits. So now, as you know, extreme extensive efforts are paid to realize large scale quantum fault-tolerant quantum computation. And currently, more and more accurate quantum operations are available, and more number of qubits are available in quantum laboratory. So in this sense, it's now a good time to argue, to seek demonstration of quantum speedup in such a near-term quantum devices. And for this purpose, several intermediate models of quantum computation have been studied. So here, intermediate means that these models are not universal. But still, we can find some quantum speedup. We can prove theoretically that there is a quantum speedup. So one example is the boson sampling. Boson sampling is first proposed by Alonso and Arkhipov in 2013. And this is a kind of linear optical quantum computation. So we have a Fox state as the initial input state, and we have a linear optical quantum circuit, and then photons are measured as a final step. So this is boson sampling. And another one is a IQP, a model called RQP. This consists of the commuting circuits. This is an example of a commuting circuit. We have a plus state, a superposition of zero state and one state, and perform some diagonal unitary operation here. and this is measured in x basis. So this is a commuting circuit, and another one is the EQC one. This is a highly mixed state quantum computation using a one clean qubit. Right, so here we have just one clean qubit, and another qubit are completely mixed state, like this. And then this clean qubit is measured in some basis. This is a DQC1 model, and first proposed by Neil and LaFlamme in 1998. And we recently showed that actually classical simulation of this model is hard under the assumption of some complexity conjecture. So all these models are not universal, still have some quantum speedup. And the nice things here is that all these models are experimentally well motivated, because this is nothing but a linear quantum computation. And already we have lots of demonstration here, experimental demonstration. And also IQP model with computing circuits are naturally implemented by using Ising type interaction. And also the Ising model is a model of quantum computation in NMR spin ensemble system. So all these are experimentally very motivated. Okay, then the purpose of this study is to add a new item to these intermediate classical computation, and namely universal, we want to put new item, universal quantum computation, but noise is very strong, so very noisy quantum computation. So the reason why, the motivation why we're considering such a noisy quantum circuit is as follows. So there are a lot of big projects underway to realize fault-tolerant quantum error correction. So for example, IBM and the Delft chip at Qtech, and also John Mauchius' group with Google, all they try to realize a two-dimensional array of superconducting qubits. And their target of this project is special theorem. So as you know, special theorem says that if the noise strength is smaller than a certain constant threshold value, here we have a threshold value, then you can perform an arbitrary universal quantum computation with an arbitrary accuracy. So in this region, so here is a clean region, and here we have a noisy region. So below this threshold value, we can perform universal fault-tolerant computation with an arbitrary accuracy, right? And this threshold value highly depends on the choice of the fault-tolerant scheme and the choice of the noise model we employ. For example, if we employ a typical one, like a topological fault-tolerant computation on the 3D cluster state, or if we employ the two-dimensional surface code as a fault-tolerant scheme, then further we apply the phenomenological noise model. This is a very simple noise model. So you put the noise at every stage on the data qubit, and also if you single measurement is subject to some noise. So this is a very simple noise model. In such a case, we have a threshold value like 3%. And then if we apply more realistic noise model called a circuit-based noise, where each elementary gate is followed by some noise, like a depolarizing noise, in such a case, we have a relatively small level, like 1%. But anyway, we have some constant threshold value for fault-tolerant quantum computation. And here we have a very natural question. So can we simulate efficiently in this pre-threshold region? So the region above the fault-tolerant threshold, right? Actually, this problem is not so simple to answer, but at least we can say that there is a threshold here. This is something like 14.6% in the phenomenological noise model. And if error rate is higher than this value, then you can easily simulate the system. This is because that if the noise level is higher than this value, then you can then the magic state, this is actually required for universal quantum computation, but this magic state becomes a convex mixture of Pauli basis state. So you can simulate by using Gottesman-Mills theorem in this region. So here we have a classically simulatable and a universal region. But still, we have a large gap between these two one, so very large gap between the universal and classical simulatable ones. And one of the main motivation of this work is to characterize this intermediate region, right? So to characterize that intermediate region, we use a technique called post-selection, right? So let's move on to hardness proof, a way of hardness proof using post-selection. So here we have a post-selected computation. So what's this? The post-selected quantum computation is to solve a decision problem by using a conditional probability distribution. So suppose we have a quantum or classical probabilistic computer here. Here we have a quantum or classical computer. And then in this case, we have two outputs, X and Y. And one output X is used to solve the decision problem. And another output, Y, is to use to post-select some avoidable event. So in some sense, you can run this subroutine until we get Y equal 1. So in the post-selected quantum computation, we can use this kind of fictitious ability to choose some event, Y equal 1, for example. And then by using the conditional probability condition on the Y equal 1 is now used to solve some problem. And the important thing here is the probability of post-selection can be exponentially small, right? And you might think this is somehow cheating because we can choose exponentially rare event. And actually, in actual experimental system, we cannot do such a thing. But it's OK. This post-selection is used just to prove some hardness result. So there is no need to use this kind of post-selection in actual experiment. So this is nothing but a mathematical tool. And actually, by using the good thing to using post-selection is by using this post-selection argument, we can distinguish your system is quantum or classical. So for example, suppose we have a classical computer and we perform post-selection. Then this class results in the class called post-BPP, the bounded error polynomial time classical computation with post-selection. Right? This is a kind of classical complexity computational model, complexity class. And then suppose we have a quantum things here, they apply post-selection, then this class results in post-BQ, the post-bounded quantum polynomial time computation with post-selection, right? And nice thing here is this post-BQP is shown to be equal to PP. PP is the probabilistic polynomial time computation, and this is a kind of classical complexity class. So this actually this was shown by Alonso, and this connect a classical complex class and the quantum complex class. And the nice thing here is now we have two kind of complex class, a classical complex class PP and post BPP. So we can compare two class directly by using the polynomial hierarchy. So actually, polynomial hierarchy is a natural extension of NP problem by using Oracle machine like this. The first level is P, and next level is P with Oracle machine NP. And the third level is P Oracle to the NP with Oracle to the NP, something like that. So by using this polynomial hierarchy, we can compare these two classes. So actually, it's known that P machine with post-BPP Oracle is contained in the third level of polynomial hierarchy. On the other hand, P to the Oracle machine, PP, contain whole of polynomial hierarchy, which is known, which is shown by Toda's theorem. So in this sense, if these two complex classes are equal, then polynomial hierarchy collapses to the third level, right? And many people, many computer science people believe that there is no collapse of polynomial hierarchy. So in this sense, if we assume that polynomial hierarchy does not collapse to the third level, then we can say that if your system is potentially as powerful as post-BQP under the application of post-selection, then we can say that classical simulation of your system is very hard for classical computer, right? This is a hardness proof by using post-selection and PP equal post-BQP theorem. So actually, this is a very convenient technique to show some less quantum system is actually hard for classical computer to simulate. So let's see a concrete example. So here we have IQP, instantaneous quantum polynomial time computation, first proposed by Bremner, Josiah, and Shepard. So the circuit for IQP is given like this. So here we have a computational basis state as an initial state. Then you apply a Adamal transformation to get the X basis state. Then you apply a diagonal unitary operation in the computational basis. And after that, you measure the qubit in the X basis. So you measure the qubit in the Z basis after the Adamal transformation. So this is IQP. And how can we employ the post-selection idea for this circuit? It's very simple. So we can interpret this circuit as follows. So first part, so X basis state preparation and diagonal unit operation, like control Z gate. Actually, control Z gate is a kind of diagonal unit operation. And this part can be interpreted as the generation of resource state called graph state here. And then the last part, single qubit rotation with Z basis and X base measurement is nothing but the measurement in the XY plane in the Bloch sphere. So in this sense, this is nothing but the measurement based quantum computation. So here we have a resource state, graph state, and XY plane measurement. But different thing here is we are not allowed to use adaptive measurement. Basically, in the measurement-based quantum computation, we have to perform adaptive measurement, which means that you have to change the angle according to the measurement, previous measurement outcome, right? And in the IQP setup, we are not allowed to do the adaptive measurement. All measurements are done simultaneously. And to avoid this problem, we can use post-selection. So actually, if you post-select some measurement outcome such that there is no byproduct operation, then you do not need to perform adaptive measurement. So you can do the measurement-based quantum computation in this setup without any adaptive operation if you are allowed to perform post-selection. So in this way, this indicates that IQP model with post-selection is equal to plus B cube B, universal computation with both sections, right? So this clearly shows that if there is a classical algorithm which can simulate IQP, then polynomial hierarchy collapses to the third level. So this indicates that if there is no collapse of polynomial hierarchy, this IQP circuit is hard for classical computer to simulate. But this is an IQP case. And next, I want to, so far okay? Is there any question? Okay. Okay, let's move to the another example. So another example is another intermediate model called BQC1. And actually here, first I will see the slightly modified version, DQC1-3. Here, 3 means the number of qubits, number of measurement qubits. So here we have just one clean qubit and apply unitary operation, and other qubit is a completely mixed state. And then 3 qubits, we are allowed to perform the measurements on the 3 qubits, right? And in this case, we can very easily show the classical simulation is very hard as follows. So here we consider that this kind of specific quantum circuit. And here we again have a 3 qubit measurement. And then in this case, it's very easy to show that hardness. This is because here we have a multi-control NOT gate, so control, control, control NOT gate. And this indicates that if all these qubits are one state, then you apply X operation here. So the zero state is flipped to the one state. So this indicates that if you perform the Z-based measurement here, and if you post-select the measurement outcome 1, then surely the state here is all one state. So you can have clean initial qubits here, all clean initial qubits here. And then you can perform an arbitrary unitary operation. And then we have another 2 output to perform post-selected quantum computation. So in this way, we can simulate universal pure state quantum computation here. So we can say that the post DQC1-3 is equal to plus BQP and also equal to PP. So this indicates that this whole DQC1-3 is hard for classical computers to simulate. But you are not satisfied with this setup because we are using 3 qubits. And in the actual case, we only have just 1 qubit. So, but still, we can show that hardness of classical simulation of DQC11 case. And in that case, of course, we cannot use the post-selection technique because we only have just 1 qubit, so there is no room to perform further post-selection here. But still, in this case, we can show the hardness of classical simulation. So let's see this kind of circuit. This is slightly complicated compared to the previous one. But the idea is very simple. So here we have a multi-control gate, which condition to the clean qubit when the all state is one state. And then you perform universal quantum computation here. And then this control Z gate puts some information of output state to the clean qubit. And after that, we perform some sort of uncomputation, undo through the computation. And this is a kind of interferometric measurement. This is a kind of interference. And by doing so, we can obtain the nice probability distribution. So let's see more in detail. So here we have all clean universal quantum computation output probability distribution for the all clean pure state quantum computation. We define this as a Q1. And then by using this probability Q1 for the pure quantum computation, we can calculate the probability distribution for this DQC1 case. Then we can realize that it is given by the 4 divided by the 2 to the n and Q1 times 1 minus Q1. So the important thing here is we can describe as a probability distribution for this DQC1 circuit in terms of the pure, all pure quantum computation, the standard universal quantum computation. And unfortunately, in this case, the probability is divided by exponentially a large function, but it's still enough to show hardness because we can use a kind of a computational class called SBQP. S indicates that small bounded error quantum computation. The small bounded error indicates that the success probability can be exponentially small. I want to go further in detail, but you can find the definition in the complex too. But anyway, so important thing here that by using this formula, we can show that SBQP, this is a small bounded error universal quantum computation, equal to SBQ1P. One indicates that one clean qubit model. So small bounded error DQC1 model. So this indicates that this small bounded error class is invariant under the change of the number of clean qubits. And the important thing here is that, again, if you can simulate this DQC1 model efficiently by using classical computer, then the polynomial hierarchy collapse. And in this case, we can slightly improve the collapse of the polynomial hierarchy to the second level. So if you can simulate this one, then which result in the polynomial hierarchy is equal to AM, a kind of classical complexity class. And then this indicates that collapse of polynomial hierarchy to the second level. So this is more unlikely to occur. Okay, this is an example usage of idea of showing hardness for intermediate class. But in the hardness pool I mentioned, like a post-selection idea, we have a very subtle problem. Actually, the notion of sampling is very strong in some sense. So in the proof of hardness, by using post-selection, require the sampling with multiplicative error. So multiplicative error is shown here. So sampling probability distribution is lower bounded and upper bounded by the ideal probability distribution with some constant factor larger than one. So this is a multiplicative error, and we have to assume this kind of multiplicative error to show the hardness of the system. And this notion of sampling can be slightly further improved by using Stockmeyer's counting argument. And actually, this is improved to some additive one with L1 norm sense. So the total variation distance. This is actually employed in the boson sampling argument, also recently applied for the IQP case by Bremner, Montano, and Shepard. This is very nice. Here we have a L1 norm additive error. But still, there is a subtle point, because if there is a small amount of constant noise in your quantum circuit, then this condition is easily broken. So you cannot, if you have some noise in your quantum operation, then you cannot satisfy both multiplicative error and L1 additive error. So in this sense, in order to show quantum speed up quantum supremacy in the noisy quantum circuits, you have to develop some new framework to show hardness. So that's the motivation of considering the hardness of classical simulation of noisy quantum circuits. Okay, let's move on to the main idea. So how can we show the hardness in the noisy quantum circuit? So the main idea is very simple, and here we have an ideal universal quantum circuit, so which we want to simulate. Again, in this case, we have two output, X and Y, right? Now, the idea is very simple. So we want to simulate this ideal one by using four-trend version, which consists of a very noisy quantum circuit. And after that, the sampled data is processed by using some classical processing. Then finally, we obtain some logical output here, X and Y, to simulate the original one. But the important thing here is that we are basically interested in the very, very noisy quantum circuit, whose noise strength is much higher than the standard threshold value for universal four-trend quantum computation. So we need a trick to employ four-trend circuit in such a case, in such a situation, very noisy situation. The idea is very simple. So here we have another measurement, Z, and this actually have information about the error signal. So this indicates that we can post-select the event where there is no error syndrome is activated. So if you post-select Z equal to zero, then you are guaranteed that there is no error syndrome which indicates that that some erroneous events occur. So namely, what have we done here is nothing but the error detection. So you detect error here, and any erroneous events are post-selected and discarded. And you can choose, you can post-select more reliable quantum computation, right, here. So by using this idea, you can simulate this ideal circuit even in the very, very noisy region. So let's see the proof of special theorem for the quantum supremacy in further detail. So the proof consists of two parts. The first part is to show actually the, this is an ideal one, which we want to simulate. And this is a simulated one by using four-trend circuit with post-selection with no single measurement, right? And in the first part, we want to show that the distance between this ideal one and the simulated one is if the distance is smaller than exponential function, here kappa is a polynomial function of the size of the computation. So if the distance is bounded by the exponentially small function, then the classical simulation of these output p x y z is actually hard for classical computing. This is the first part. And then the second part is as follows. So actually, this exponential small additive error between this ideal and simulated one is can be achievable by using a quantum error correction and the post-selection. Okay, let's see the first part in further detail. So here we consider to solve a PP complete problem, namely, specifically, we employ the majority SAT problem. But anyway, we consider to solve this problem by using a conditional probability distribution, a condition on y equal, for example, 1. And this conditional probability distribution is to use to solve PP complete problem. And now we have a concrete problem, majority SAT, so you can evaluate the probability for post-selection. And of course, this probability for post-selection becomes exponentially small in the size of the computation, but still we can bound this exponentially small probability by the exponentially small function like this, 2 to the minus 6 n minus 4, right? So by using this fact, the oscillation probability is lower bounded, we can show that actually, if exponentially small additive error is satisfied, then you can show that conditional probability distribution, condition on y equals 0, and in this case, y equals 0, and also z equals 0. The distance between these ideal one and simulated one becomes less than 1/2. And actually, this condition is enough to solve PP complete problem, majority sat, by using this conditional probability distribution. So this indicates that if you can show that the additive error is exponentially bounded, then the output XYZ is hard for classical simulation. So this is the first part. And let's move on to the second part. So actually, this exponential small additive error can be achievable. So let's see the kind of fault tolerant circuit. Here we have a fault tolerant circuit increasing classical processing. For simplicity, we describe classical processing by using unitary notation for simplicity. But anyway, we have a fault tolerant circuit here, including classical processing. And actually, this can be described as a sequential unitary operation followed by noisy operation. So here we have an ideal unitary operation. And also, this is followed by noisy operation. And we assume noisy operation can be given as in this form, a kind of stochastic noise. So this is the identity part. And the other part, not the identity part, can be described as a CP map, any CP map. So in this case, we can describe the output probability distribution in this form. So initial state and noisy unitary operation, and the final output for the syndrome measurements, and the output for the X and Y, right? And then, by using the fact that the noisy operation can be decomposed into the identity part C and the CP part, we can decompose the noisy density matrix into the two contributions. The first contribution is called sparse one, and another one is called faulty one. And sparse density matrix is defined such that under the condition of no syndrome measurement are created, we can obtain the ideal probability distribution proportional to the ideal one. So if you, in the sparse case, if you apply the post-selection, then you can obtain the probability distribution proportional to the ideal one. This is the definition of sparse line. And the faulty part is the remaining part. And by using this decomposition, we can bound that the distance between the ideal probability distribution and a simulated one in the L1 norm sense is bounded by the 2 times the operator norm of the faulty part divided by the probability Q. And here, the probability Q is defined as the probability to post-select the null syndrome measurement. Right? So in this way, we can bound the distance between the ideal and simulated probability distribution by this function. And we can evaluate this value by using the noise parameters. And if your fault tolerant circuit constructed or propagated, then you can bound this value by exponentially small function. So you can achieve exponentially small additive error. So now, by combining the first part and second part, we can state that there exists a constant threshold value below which the output from the noisy quantum circuit cannot be simulated efficiently by using classical computer. Of course, under the assumption of non-collapse of polynomial hierarchy. So this is the main result of this work. Okay. So far, any question? Okay.
Yes, please. Yeah, so how do you know that that threshold value that you get isn't the same as the bulk tolerance threshold?
Yeah, next we will see how the threshold for the supremacy is different from the standard threshold value. Okay, let's see the complete example by using the 3D topological cluster state computation and 2D fault-tolerant computation using 2D surface grid. The first one is the topological measurement-based computation on the 3D cluster state. So here we consider the cluster state called Russ-Sandorf RHG lattice here. So this is the dual of BBC. And then here we consider the measurement-based computation on a glass state given like this of degree log n, right? So here we use this kind of slightly complicated graph state, both this one and this one. And of course, MBQC is nicely connected to the IQP model, and this corresponds to the commuting circuit of depth log n. And then let's apply a very simple noise model, namely independent single qubit dephasing with probability E. Actually, this corresponds to the phenomenological noise model. So each qubit on the graph state is subject to the single qubit dephasing, right? And then under this assumption, we can easily calculate the operator norm for the faulty part. And actually, the faulty part can be decomposed into two contributions. One is the faulty operation in the Clifford operation. And another is the magic state distillation. Faulty operation is the magic state distillation. And then these faulty operation in Clifford operation and magic state distillation can be evaluated concretely. So in the case of Clifford operation, we can employ the counting of the number of self-avoiding walk used in the Dennard law, and we can evaluate the operator norm like this. And by using this formula, we can calculate the threshold value for the Clifford operation here. So the threshold value is 0.167. Actually, this threshold value is quite high. This is because we employ a massive post-selection with null syndrome measurement. So there is no need to perform error correction. So any erroneous events are discarded by post-selection. So in this sense, under the post-selection, the threshold for Clifford operation is very, very high. And actually, this threshold is much higher than the threshold for magic state distillation. So the threshold for the magic state distillation is given 0.146, as I mentioned. And this value is smaller than this threshold. So the threshold for the case of measurement-based quantum computation on the 3D cluster state is determined purely by the distillability of magic state, right? So let's return to the slide for the motivation. So here we found that if the error probability in the phenomenological noise model is smaller than this value for 14.6%, then you can show that classical simulation is hard by the post-selection argument. So this query indicates that the classically simulatable region and classically not simulatable region can be divided sharply by the distillability of magic state. So all these regions are hard for classical computers to simulate. And here we have a standard noise threshold, via which you can perform universal quantum computation. So in this way, we can successfully characterize these intermediate regions as a as a hard case for classical simulation, as a sampling problem, right? And then next, we wanna think more realistic noise models, a circuit-based noise model. Maybe this is the most interesting noise model for the experimentalist. And here we assume that there is an array of qubits on the square lattice in two-dimensional system, and we are allowed to perform two-dimensional nearest neighbor gates on the square grid. And each elementary gate, each elementary operation like state preparation, measurement, and single qubit and two qubit gates are followed by depolarizing noise, parameterized by probability P. And in this case, the thing is slightly complicated compared to the phenomenological noise model, because here we have a correlated error in the lattice. But still, we can evaluate the threshold value by using this formula. So this indicates that so nu indicates that the independent part of error rate, and nu indicates that the error probability for the correlated error on the lattice. And by using this nu and mu, we can define the effective single qubit error here. So by using this effective single qubit error, you can safely model the system as a phenomenological noise model. And then you can evaluate the threshold value for this noise model. And then you can calculate the threshold value. Actually, the value is P equal to the 2.84%. And again, this is actually determined by the distributability of magic state under this circuit level noise model, circuit-based noise model. And the important thing here is this threshold value is higher than the threshold value, 0.75%, calculated in the same noise model. So this is the threshold value for standard universal fault tolerant computation, and this is the threshold for quantum supremacy. So in this way, we realize that if your gate noise error probability of your gate is smaller than this 2.84%, your system have some quantum speed up, which can be shown theoretically.
So, sir, how do you compute threshold for magic state distribution? What is
actually, if you employ this this kind of effective single qubit error probability, then you can you can insert that value to this formula. So actually, the magic state distillation, threshold for magic state distillation is given like this in the phenomenological noise model. And that formula translates your correlated noise model to the phenomenological one.
I see. So that part is nothing related to the
coupling? Nothing
related to the surface?
Yes. Here determined by the magic state distillation. So actually, this is the final slide of this talk. So let's summarize this talk. So in this work, we show that even noisy quantum circuits can have a quantum supremacy, which means that we can show that classical simulation of the system is hard under some stable complexity assumption. And the important thing is that the threshold for quantum supremacy is much higher than the threshold for fault-tolerant standard universal quantum computation. So if your system is too noisy and you cannot perform a fault-tolerant universal computation, but still we can find quantum supremacy. And the interesting point here is the threshold is purely determined by the magic state distillation. Distillability of magic state, right? And if you consider the phenomenological, very simple noise model, then you decide that classically simulatable lesion and not simulatable lesion is sharply divided by the distributability of magic state, right? So now we realize that if your error rate is smaller than something like 3% in the circuit-based noise model, then your system have some quantum supremacy. And now, as a future work, it will be interesting to ask, how can we directly verify or identify the quantum supremacy of your noisy quantum system, in which will be realized in near time, near future. So that's all. Thank you for your attention.
Questions?
So you say we can sharply sim separate. I mean, so we have you have an intermediate region, right, between
yes.
classical simulatable and universal.
Yes.
I mean, why should I think that this is an intermediate regime rather than just telling us that our Lorentz protocols aren't good enough yet? I mean, because you've proved all of this with respect to specific fault tolerance protocols, right?
Yes.
I mean, why shouldn't I expect that this is not just a better fault tolerance protocol that we don't know of that goes further to the right?
Yeah. Okay, this kind of argument highly depends on the choice of fault tolerance scheme. But I think basically this kind of structure can be found in any fault tolerance scheme. So you have a threshold for fault tolerance universal quantum computation, and in the above threshold, still you can find some region in which you can find the quantum supremacy. Because in the fault tolerance quantum computation, you have to perform quantum error correction efficiently. But in the case of quantum supremacy, you can employ post-selection, and you can choose exponentially small layer event. So it indicates that error detection is much more easy compared to the universal fault tolerance quantum computation. In that sense, the threshold for quantum supremacy is always higher than the, this standard threshold value. And also, basically, the fault tolerance argument consists of the Clifford one and the non-Clifford one. And the standard argument, in the case of standard argument, the threshold of magic state distillation is determined by error detection. Because in the magic state distillation, you can post-select noisy magic state. But the threshold for Clifford gate is relatively small because you have to do the error correction. But in the quantum supremacy argument, you can apply error detection, both Clifford gate and magic state distillation. So in that sense, yeah, it's very natural that the threshold for quantum supremacy is determined by magic state distillation.
Right, so I mean, could you have a protocol independence theorem that says something like, assuming that the error detection threshold is always higher than the error correction threshold, then there's always intermediate regime of quantum supremacy somewhere.
Maybe it's possible. Right. If you assume that the threshold for magic state distillation is smaller than the threshold for Clifford gate, error detection in Clifford gate.
Right. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
So your result is only for exact classical simulation or up to multiplicative.
Yes.
So in principle, it's still possible that you would have an extra bound in the middle there where you say, hard to simulate exactly, but you can simulate approximately well enough, and then you
with additive error.
Yeah, then you have a third where it becomes hard to simulate and whatnot.
It may be possible.
Yeah.
And also, the thing we here considering exact sampling of physical system or multiplicative error is that basically here we are interested in the actual computational power of actual physical system. So in this sense, it's very natural to consider the exact physical sampling where noisy operation is all included.
All right, yeah.
So my question is maybe about related to the last bullet point of your last mm-hmm. slide, and about, I mean, you have sort of a nice, you know, classification of complexity classes, but it can, you know, what needs to be done in order to turn this into an experiment that one can propose
yes.
and
yes, yes,
run
yes.
a few times and then claim?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I think that's actually a good point, and actually, in my result, if your gate is error rate of your gate is below the supremacy threshold, then we realize that there might be some quantum supremacy, but there is no concrete way to verify or identify such a quantum supremacy from the sampling result. And I think it's a nice future work to find a good witness that which implies that there's a quantum supremacy in your system in this highly noisy situation.
And is the post-selection condition maybe something, but is it something that occurs with exponentially small
yes.
probability?
Yes.
I see.
So that's. But for example, if the sampling notion of sampling is somehow L1 additive error, then we can perform some verification protocol, which is used in blind quantum computation. But difficulty is here we are considering the multiplicative error, so it's exponentially hard. But if you do the exponentially many sampling protocol, then you can verify your system is below this supremacy threshold or not. But definitely we need to find more efficient way to characterize your system is below the supremacy threshold or not. Yeah.
So do we have a clear definition for the quantum supremacy?
Definition of quantum supremacy is said the quantum speed in the sampling problem. And typically, it's applied for the non-universal model of quantum computation. Because if you have a universal quantum computation, you can easily prove your system is exponentially faster than the classical computer. For example, you can solve a factoring problem or something like that. But if you have only non-universal model, then you cannot apply a quantum algorithm on your system. So in such a case, we need some criteria by which we can define quantum supremacy by using such a device. Basically, quantum supremacy is defined as a quantum speedup in such a non-universal sampling problem. Is there any other question?
Okay, sir. Let's thank you again.
Thank you.